कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवाद पाश्चात्य देवी ताने जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। 1 मीटर रेडियस के अंदर सब लोग बैठना चाहिए इधर आज आपके पास। ओके सो लेट्स कंटिन्यू फ्रॉम वेयर वी लेफ्ट ऑफ यस्टरडे। ओके सो सम डिवोटीज वर पजल्ड बाय मधुमाधव्स बिहेवियर बट ब्रजबिहारी प्रभु रीअश्योर्ड दैट डोंट वरी he is advancing in krishna consciousness and soon master his emotions as always pushta krishna's words came true madhumadhav soon realized that without systematizing his remembrance of krishna he would be hard pressed to control it and the emotions it stirred in him at first he recalled verses and prayers from the books of raghunath das goswami and shila rupa goswami and later on remembered Lord Chaitanya's Ashtakaliya Leela followed by those of Lord Krishna. So he decided that I have to systematize this thing, otherwise it will go uncontrolled. Although he felt his heart to be like an active volcano ready to erupt at any moment with a lava like emotion, Madhumadhav gradually gained mastery over it. He regained his composure and appeared to devotees and guests to be his old self. Same in Purana Madhumadhava. But he was far from the old self. He was not the same. He could feel Krishna's presence, though he could not see him. He could perceive that Krishna was calling him, though he was yet unable to hear him. No, he could never be his old self. Madhumadhav was now intent on being his real self, his original self. Original self. And as careful as he was in his practice, Madhumadhav could not help but feel that his original self was that of a gopi. Explanation. At developed stages of attachment, asakti, attraction to Krishna becomes so strong that it begins to overpower the vaidhi sadhana motives such as reasoning and adherence to rules for hearing about and remembering the Lord. Madhumadhav's devotion thus became increasingly governed by raga and less so by vaidhi. By Lord Chaitanya's grace, the devotees' moods of Rajabhakti became so substantial that devotees are naturally drawn to certain service moods. In Madhumadhav's case, to that of a gopi. Madhumadhav did not broadcast his realizations and he continued his service and sadhana as he always had. He led Saturday Harinam through the tourist district, helped organize yearly Ratyatra festivals and played an active role in celebrating special days like Janmashtami. He gave wonderfully realized and inspired classes, but he never strayed into the realms of Leela in his speaking. Nothing beyond the understanding of his average listener, which means he was not speaking according to whatever he had realized, but he spoke according to what the listeners could digest according to their level of realizations. Once he gave a class on Radhashtami that he had thought had crossed the line, although no one else agreed. He said, no, it was perfectly fine. After that, he preferred to serve in the kitchen on Srimati Radharani's appearance day and listen to others' classes over the speaker system.
Thought crossed the line.
He was thinking. But others said, nahi, waisa kuch bola nahi. Some devotees persistently suggested that he take sannyas and become the temple's homegrown renunciant. But Madhumadhav declined. Taking sannyas would not increase his preaching, but would simply push him more into the limelight. After all, young devotees already wanted him to be their initiating spiritual master. And convincing the leaders of the yatra that this service was not for him was enough of a chore as it was. The only role Madhumadhav wanted was that of a humble servant of the Vaishnavas. After all, young devotees already wanted him to be their initiating spiritual master, and convincing the leaders of the yatra that this service was not for him was enough of a chore as it was. So, this may be a problem. Come on, I'm missing it. He had no aspirations other than to become a maid servant of Sri Radha. Explanation. Because neophytes often equate position like that of a guru, sannyasi, GBC or temple president with spiritual advancement, and because more mature devotees consider such services already amply provided for by other devotees, Madhumadhav did not want to accept such responsibilities. Although he had been blessed with good health, already there are sufficient people taking care of those. I don't have to do it like that. They feel. Although he had been blessed with good health, as Madhumadhav passed through midlife and headed towards old age, he began to feel the aches and pains and more frequent ailments that characterize a worn body. Rajvihari Das, who was a few years his senior, had stepped aside as temple president for the same reason. He was now busy training a younger devotee, his disciple, to manage the temple and guide devotees. One evening, Rajvihari Das proposed, "Why don't we go to Mayapur and Vrindavan this coming yatra, Kartik?" Madhumadhav was hesitant. He did not have the same energy to lead youthful pilgrims through the holy dham as he used to. How many such pilgrimages had he led? Perhaps more than 10. I mean, just you and me. Rajvihari Das continuing. "We can rest and absorb ourselves in chanting and hearing about the Lord." They are doing this, All the Jayadvait Maharaj, Ranjan Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Murijan Prabhu, Indradumna Maharaj, Bibi Govind Maharaj, all of them.
Only
sannyasis and senior Prabhupada disciples, they come together. Govardhan Ashram, hearing, chanting, Parikrama. This proposal appealed to Madhumadhav. The two aging sadhus agreed at last that the place they could have the most restful, peaceful and productive pilgrimage would be Sridham Mayapur. Mayapur was non-different from Vrindavan Dham, but the Panchatattva's mercy, love for Krishna, was more easily accessible in Mayapur. They would go to ISKCON's spiritual city on the bank of the divine Ganges and beg for Lord Chaitanya's mercy. "Surely the leader of the Sankirtan movement will answer our prayers," Madhumadhav concluded. As usual, ISKCON's Mayapur project had developed significantly since their last visit. Srila Prabhupada's world headquarters was beginning to look more like a city than a campus. The first phase of the main temple was nearing completion, and shops, restaurants, devotees' homes, temple embassies and preaching stalls filled the landscape. The days of walking beside rice paddies on the way from one part of the project to other were gone. Everywhere were wide roads lined with trees and neatly maintained gardens. Of course, the roads, lanes and squares were teeming with visitors, not only from Bengal and India, but from all over the world. Every year, Srila Prabhupada's vision for Mayapur was being realized. When Madhumadhav and Rajvihari Das entered the large temple room, they bowed before Srila Prabhupada, Lord Narasimhadev, the Panchatattva and Sri Sri Radha Madhav. As usual, the darshan was awe-inspiring, and as usual, Madhumadhav thought, "Now I have come home." Before Madhu Madhav had left for his pilgrimage, Gaur Hari had come to visit him. My heart tells me that the Panchatattva will shower their mercy on you, Gaur Hari. You will achieve the fulfillment of your desires. मुझे ये होल नरेशन में व्हाट आई रियली अप्रिशिएट इज द बॉन्डिंग बिटवीन गौर हरि मधु माधव व्रज विहारी प्रभु एंड यू नो द स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर इज रियली वंडरफुल. मधु माधव पुट हिज हैंड अक्रॉस हिज फ्रेंड्स माउथ. डू यू वॉन्ट डिप्राइव मी ऑफ इवन अ ड्रॉप ऑफ मर्सी बाय कंटामिनेटिंग माई माइंड. Just bless me that I can become a Vaishnava in this life. His mouth still covered, Gaur Hari murmured, to bless you first I have to become a Vaishnava. Madhu Madhav and Rajvihari Das wanted to stay alone. They refused the kind offer of an assistant and stayed in the spacious guest house managed by their GBC zone. Since most devotees were in Vrindavan for Kartik, they had the entire house to themselves. It was clean and secluded. Madhu Madhav had planned to chant 64 rounds daily, bathe in the Ganges and absorb himself in the songs of Thakur Bhaktivinod. Of course, they would also walk to the temple for darshan of the Panchatattva and when asked, give class to the devotees. Their meals were simple, their schedule relaxed. In the evenings, the two would sing songs and talk about Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. Although Madhu Madhav had always seen Vrajvihari as his Shiksha Guru, now their relationship was sweeter and more intimate than ever before, like that of two brothers. This happens when one gradually moves from Vaidhi to Raganuga. One starts seeing the spiritual master not just as a perfect representative of the parampara, but he starts seeing the spiritual master as the most intimate associate of Radha and Krishna, like oneself. Explanation. Devotees should see no difference between the Diksha and Shiksha Gurus. By service and surrender, the relationship between spiritual master and the disciple may become intimate, although it always remains respectful. Vishrambhena Gurur Seva. The holy Dham, the Panchatattva, the solitary worship, all were having a profound effect on Madhu Madhav's spiritual emotions, especially during his meditation on the holy name and on Radha Krishna's pastimes. He found the hours after his nightly talks with Vrajvihari Das to be the most conducive for systematic worship. Chanting softly under a solitary lamp, Madhu Madhav would think of Krishna's late evening and nighttime pastimes. He remembered how Radharani would dress in a way that pleased Krishna, but would also conceal her stealthy journey from her husband's home to where Krishna was waiting. He remembered how she would hurry down the forest path to meet Krishna at a pre-assigned grove by the Yamuna's shore. He remembered how, after enjoying an evening festival in Nandagram, Krishna would feign sleep, slip out of bed and run to meet Sri Radha. He remembered how the divine couple would roam the moonlit forest with the gopis and then sing and dance to their heart's content. He remembered how Krishna and his princess would become fatigued from their festive pastimes and would rest on a bed of flowers, drowning their girlfriends in the ecstasy of loving exchanges. Madhu Madhav's meditation was complete and detailed. He could feel the moonlight and smell the kadamba flowers. He could see the detailed embroidery on Srimati Radharani's sari. Day by day, this meditation became longer and more continuous. It's progressing. Flowing spontaneously into Krishna's early morning pastimes and beyond. At last, Madhu Madhav lost awareness of the world around him. Time, his body, the fact that he was meditating and became situated in perfect absorption, samadhi. Explanation. In meditating on Krishna's Ashtakaliya Leela, Madhu Madhav passed through the stages of Dhyana, Anusmriti and Samadhi. These are the various stages of Smaranam. These are the concluding stages of Krishna Smarana, after which comes the stage of application, apana dasha, bhava. Bhava ka pehle smaranam.
So while chanting he was remembering all this. So the barometer is worse than NOI, there is 5 stages and more you going through the 5 stages and you understand that's the clear
thing.
There is one more point in the previous slide. You know, he could feel the wonder and smell and all. This is actually like he's able to see the Leela.
Yeah, he's able to see the Leela. This is explained in detail in Madhura Kadambini actually. How first he comes in touch with one sense, then the second sense, then the third sense, then the fourth sense, and fifth sense, and all together, and then how he responds, all of that. Chaitanya Charitamrita, maybe.
Yeah. He was sharing a story where one Ram devotee sannyasi was describing Ramlila. And Hanuman was present there. Hanuman was present. Hanuman is present wherever Ramkatha is going. And he told that Hanuman was seated on the tree. And there were, white flowers. So Hanuman was sitting. He said, no, I was sitting. It was red flowers. I'm only saying it is white. After the discussion was over, he went and called out his sannyasi to a very nice katha and abhishek. But he said, there were white flowers, there were red flowers, he said. And he said, no, they were white flowers. So then there was an argument, Hanuman was getting upset. So he said, no, I'm sure it is. Let me go to my meditation and come back to the Lord. So the next day katha went on. And he continued from there, and again he said that there were white flowers. So Hanuman got really upset. And he asked the second day sannyasi, how can you say that there were white flowers, there were red flowers? He said, Then Hanuman could not tolerate, and at last he said, to resolve this conflict, Ram has come. So actually Ram appeared there with him. And Ram told that actually the flowers are white. But Hanuman, you were angry. That's why, because of that, the flowers are getting turned. These are two incidents which happened in one katha. So he was going into the meditation and actually describing the event. This is not a, it's called Sannyasi, but from Ramanuji Sampradaya, who was describing them. He was going to the meditation and actually explained the Kabbalah.
Yeah. After a few evenings of such wonders, Madhumadhav feigned illness and excused himself from the temple programs and the evening talks with Vrajvihari Das. The elderly Vaishnava visited Madhumadhav to see what was ailing him. But when he looked into Madhumadhav's eyes, he said, "Get well soon," and left Madhumadhav alone. In the early morning, Madhumadhav would wander on the banks of the Jalangi in the direction of Jagannath's temple, crying for Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He would pray to the holy waters of the Saraswati, roll in the sacred dust of the Dham, and addressing the singing birds, "Please give me your mercy." His heart cried out for the direct service to Vraja's princess. He wanted more than simply to remember such grace. He wanted entrance into the pastimes. Slowly from Bhava is going Prema. In a small forest, he fell to his knees crying out to Lord Gauranga. As he considered his fallen state, he felt hopeless that he would ever attain his goal. He wanted to die. Then he remembered Lord Chaitanya's infinite kindness and regained hope, wondering, when will that day come? And symptoms of bhava. So here, explanation. To the degree that devotees become attached to Krishna, to that degree they feel separation from him. Such separation culminates in the shedding of tears, which is described in its perfect stage in the 7th verse of Sri Shikshashtakam. 7th verse is actually Prema. Tears flow from my eyes like torrents of rain. Without crying for Krishna, even the most ardent sadhaka cannot induce the Lord to reveal himself. By many years of loyal service to the Lord's mission and to the pure devotees, by having abandoned any desire for material happiness or liberation, by the ardent longing for eternal service taught by the Acharyas, Madhumadav finally achieved Lord Chaitanya's mercy. One night while Madhumadav was in trance, Krishna's holy name, which is completely spiritual and endowed with all the potencies of Godhead, touched him with but one divine ray of pure goodness. Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma Prema Suryamshu Samyabha Ruchibis Chitta Masranya Kriddasau Bhava Uchyate. At once Madhumadav's heart was illumined with a spiritual potency he had never before experienced. A potency that expanded throughout his being and caused him to cry, tremble and swoon. Swept away by the oceanic waves of ecstasy, the holy name was his only anchor. But that very name continued to toss him from one wave of bliss to another. Not knowing what else to do, Madhumadav continued to chant until the waves of the ecstasy subsided. Then within his heart he perceived not the mental impression of Krishna's pastime, but Radha and Krishna and Sri Vrindavan Dham. He saw the divine couple surrounded by gopis who were glowing with ecstatic love for them. He also saw, somewhat distant from the scene, one young gopi whom he knew to be himself. Maharaj had assured him, in time everything will be revealed. Now Madhumadav, by the potency of the ecstatic devotion, even Lord Brahma desires, achieved his spiritual body, Siddha Deha.
Mayapur.
By the mercy of Krishna's pleasure-giving potency, Madhumadav remained absorbed in his heart's vision, Spurti. Stavara jangama deki na deki tara murti sarvatra hoi nija kishta deva Spurti. So, by the mercy of Krishna's pleasure-giving potency, Madhumadav remained absorbed in his heart's vision, tasting many forms of continuous ecstasy, ecstasy that caused wonderful transformations in his body. Although Madhumadav would have reveled in this bliss forever, he had not yet achieved perfection. To increase his desire for perfection, the holy name withdrew the vision of Vraja. Although not the ecstasy in Madhumadav's heart. Once having awakened, Bhava was now his forever, his to cultivate into love, Prema, and the full-blown mellow of relationship with Krishna, Rasa. When the ecstasy of finally attaining his heart's desire was heightened by its disappearance, Madhumadav fainted. Explanation. When a ray of love of God, which is composed of pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva, descends on a sadhaka, he is elevated to the stage of Bhava, at which time his eternal mode of service, Thai Bhava, is revealed. Sai Bhava has revealed. Sai Bhava has descended from the bathrooms of ashram with fresh tilak. At this stage, a devotee comes to realize the general nature of his eternal form, Siddha Swarup. And from this stage on, devotees are spiritually situated and their chanting of the holy name while remembering Krishna's pastimes gradually cultivates the mellow of devotional service, Bhakti Rasa. It was late morning when Achyutanand felt the warm rays of the sun caress his body. He sat up, spiritually invigorated, reflecting on the night's events. Was it a dream or was it real? There were many questions to be answered. He would need Vrajvihari Prabhu's help. In the weeks that followed, Vrajvihari Prabhu answered his questions and guided his beloved friend and disciple. During the day, Vrajvihari Prabhu would instruct Achyutananda in the transcendental worship of the holy name. And from night till dawn, his heart full of pure greed for Braja Bhakti, Madhumadha would continue to cultivate ecstatic chanting. The holy name Madhumadha now chanted was imbued with rasa, and the pastimes he perceived came from the spiritual realm. Madhumadha's first perfection was to awaken his permanent mood as a maid servant Manjari of Srimati Radharani. As he continued to chant, the actual mellow of devotion gradually awakened. In one nocturnal encounter, Madhumadha met a spiritual master in his gopi form and came to understand the 11 aspects of his own spiritual identity, such as his name and services. In another encounter,
Guru is revealed the captain identity. This can know in this
way. In this way he can know. So therefore, Prabhupada's identity, some people may know, but they won't speak. Because then they will have to reveal how they came
to know.
Gaur Govind Maharaj said no. In another encounter, he perceived himself as a gopi serving Radha and Krishna and Braja. The 11 details of a devotee's Siddha Swarupa are revealed either by the spiritual master from his spiritually realized position, if he has realized it, or by the holy name as described in Sharanagati. Blossoming fully, the flower of the holy name takes me to Vraja and reveals to me his own love dalliance. This name gives to me my own eternal spiritual body, keeps me right by Krishna's side, and completely destroys everything related to this mortal frame of mind. Purna vikashita hoya braje mora jaya loya dekai more swarupa vilas more siddha deha diya krishna pashe rake giya edehera kore sarvanash nama mahatmya. Vrajvihari Prabhu was very pleased. You have entered the spiritual realm. Now you must ascend by stages to the topmost perfection and go back home, back to God. And Madhumadha, who had now become somewhat conversant with the divine energy that guided him, was also confident that such perfection was close at hand. His gurus, the holy name, and Lord Chaitanya himself were guiding him. He was sure that they would answer all his questions, and that in time everything would be revealed. But there is still one decision you must take, said Vrajvihari Prabhu. Will you stay here in Mayapur and continue your bhajan? Or will you return to Yatra and complete it there? Nitai, what do you think?
Stay by
Madhumadha did not know, but Vrajvihari Prabhu insisted that it was for him to decide. In Mayapur, Madhumadha could continue solitary worship undisturbed under the Panchatattva's shelter. Constant bhajan would surely bring him face to face with Radha and Shyam. But in the West, his preaching left him with little time for such bhajan. How would he progress on the path to perfection? Srila Prabhupada preached until the end. Madhumadha's heart, like iron to a magnet, was drawn to the pursuit of his quest, his service to Sri Radha. Yet, his Guru Maharaj had said, I tried my best to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. You do the same. Had he completed his service to Prabhupada's mission? Madhumadha did not know. And for the first time in 40 years, Vrajvihari Prabhu would not give him an answer. It's for you to desire. Go to the Panchatattva. Pray to them for guidance. Lord Chaitanya leads the Sankirtan movement just as he is leading you to Vraja. Ask him which path to take, preaching or solitary worship. Explanation. Srila Prabhupada said that devotees would have to decide for themselves whether to retire for Nirjan Bhajan when they are qualified or to continue preaching until the end of their lives. The next morning during Mangalarti, Madhumadav played to Lord Gauranga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has always looked merciful. But when Achyutanand returned to his room, he was still uncertain about what to do. There were only a few days left until their scheduled return to the West. Vrajvihari Prabhu would go. What should he do? Leaning against a cushion, his legs crossed, listening to the singing birds, Madhumadav dozed off. In his sleep, he was again before the altar of the Panchatattva, this time alone. Again, he prayed for guidance. This time, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda stepped forward off the altar and onto the temple room floor, towering above Madhumadav. Madhumadav was overcome with bliss. He fell flat before the two lords and then looked up. Lord Nityananda said, "Return to your place of service. Continue to serve us there. By the grace of my Lord Gauranga, you will achieve ultimate perfection. Do not doubt it." Abhi acha rahega ki jab Gauranga Mahaprabhu bolenge, nahi. Stay in Mayapur. नहीं बोलेंगे पता नहीं. Madhumadav bowed down before the two lords and felt their lotus feet on his head. Overcome with ecstasy, he fainted. After he came to external awareness and calmed himself, he informed Vrajvihari Prabhu about his dream. "The Lord has answered your question and given his order. Better make the most of the next few days." Jo hai, loot lo. When the time came to return to the West, the two elderly Vaishnavas departed from Mayapur with heavy hearts and eyes filled with tears. Like our Sarvatma Hari Prabhu, when he had to leave GV, he had his eyes filled with tears. When he was when he had come on a 1 year loan to GV for training, and after that he didn't want to return back. So, but Swayam Bhagavan Prabhu was calling him. He was, when he was leaving, he was literally crying. Fir baad mein aage. 11. Once in the West, they continued their services helping to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Madhumadav related his attainment confidentially to Gaurahari, who bathed his friend in tears of honest joy. During the day, Madhumadav offered his service, and at night he continued to cultivate the rasa he had begun in Mayapur. As long as he remained in this world, pura cycle explain kar diya. Vrajvihari Prabhu continued to guide him, and when the inevitable happened and his greatest guide and well-wisher passed away, Madhumadav continued to receive his guidance as he had that of his initiating spiritual master from the transcendental plane. But because he continued to serve as a practitioner, sadhaka, relating to this world for the world's benefit, Madhumadav felt great pain at being separated from his well-wishers. He experienced the greatest pain of which Ramananda Rai had spoken, separation from the Vaishnavas. Compounding this was the pain of separation he felt from Radha and Krishna and their companions. When these two sorrows combined, they softened Madhumadhav's heart until it was like flowing honey. Honey that constantly anointed his eyes. Prema. So, bhava is chitta masranya krid, aso bhava uchyate. And prema is described as completely fluid, molten heart. Thus, Madhumadhav's inclination to leave this world grew daily. Despite this, he continued to perform his regular temple services to benefit the conditioned souls, to please Srila Prabhupada and to fulfill his guru's orders. At last, Madhumadhav's service to Srila Prabhupada's mission was also complete and he received the blessings of Gauru Nithai for eternal service. Madhumadhav had come to the platform of Prema. He could advance further in loving devotional service only in a body unhampered by material coverings, in his original spiritual body. Thus, to the sorrow of many hundreds of devotees, Madhumadhav at last left this world and went to the place in the material world where Krishna was displaying his pastimes. Some other place where in Bauma Vrindavan. Gaur Hari offered an emotional tribute at the festival honoring Madhumadhav's departure. He was the only person left who knew the details of Madhumadhav's perfection. But Gaur Hari followed Madhumadhav's last instruction to him and did not reveal these details. At the end of describing Madhumadhav's life, he said only, "He was a pure devotee. He loved Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON, and he had unflinching faith in the path of perfection Srila Prabhupada gave us." The obituary section in Back to God included these last words of Gaur Hari. The ISKCON world, most of which had hardly known Madhumadhav, took momentary notice that another devotee had gone back to God. It was a wonderful thing. But it was not unusual. In Srila Prabhupada's movement, it was happening all the time. Madhumadhav did not want Gaur Hari to reveal to the devotees anything about the details of his inner spiritual life or his attainment of perfection. Like chaste women, devotees keep their personal relationship with Krishna secret. Thus, as Lord Chaitanya says, it is difficult to understand the actual position of a perfect devotee. Even the most learned man cannot understand the words, activities and symptoms of a person situated in love of Godhead. Yaran chitte Krishna prema karaya udai taravakya kriya mudra vigyehana puja. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Thus we come to the end of this last chapter. But still, there is one thing that is left. Nithai, don't run away. Afterward. O Radha, O Shyama, great devotees of ancient times engaged in severe austerities and unparalleled service to traverse the direct path leading to your lotus feet. Those who attained the goal left roadmaps for others who desired to follow in their wake. Songs and books chronicling their transcendental adventures. Swayam Samuttirya Sudustaram Dhyuman Bhavarnavam Bhimam Adabra Saugda Bhavat Padamboruha Nava Matrate Nidhaya Yata Sadanugraho Bhavan. Who says?
Demigods.
Garbhastuti prayers, they say. So they leave behind the boat and you are so magnanimous that you are, you know. It is like one person purchases one ticket, and for eternity everyone in the ashram uses that one ticket to go back and forth, back and forth. तो वो तो एक है. अभी रूप गोस्वामी ने लिखा एक भक्ति रसाम सिंधु, उसको 500,000 10,000 years anyone who takes shelter, you know, Krishna accepts. खुद कुछ लिखे नहीं, they have not written anything on their own, but one person wrote and the others also get the same The path to you is one and it is called pure devotional service. Because it transforms all who practice it, pure devotional service is also a touchstone called Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. There is a place that has been transformed by the pure devotion of many swan-like devotees into Chintamani Dham, a place in which you appear in your original transcendental forms. When my pious credits bear fruit, I visit that place to rejoice in the company of your companions and bask in the indescribable bliss of your darshan. There, devotees chant your names in ecstasy, hear your words with relish, and serve you with love in many ways. This place is a replica of your eternal abode, the sublime realm of your divine pastimes. In the early morning, devotees wake and dress your lordships and serve you with offerings of food, dance, and song. Later, while Shama tends the cows with the cowherds, Radhika along with her assistants prepares his lunch. At midday, you both enjoy a sumptuous repast and then roam through the pleasure gardens around Radha's lake, enjoying pastimes of swinging, festive dancing, swimming in the cool waters and resting in a secluded grove. In the afternoon and evening, after the cows have returned home, you listen to the glories of your names and teachings, and you bless the demigods who have come from afar to see you. Finally, after your devotees have dressed you in night clothes, fed you a light supper and put you to rest, you both tiptoe from the temple to enjoy nocturnal pastimes such as the rasa dance. Yet, among all your pastimes, one enchants me the most: your giving of pure devotion to the fallen. Every day, countless lost souls, their every step erasing sins from a thousand lifetimes, walk the winding path from the forest of illusion to the stairs leading to your bejeweled temple. When such fortunate souls come before you and chant your names, they receive the causeless mercy of pure devotional service to you. Repeatedly, I have seen you transform casual visitors into devotees, hard-hearted agnostics into believers, and sinful offenders into righteous souls. Shatram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shanti nigacchati kaunteya pratijanehi name bhakta pranashyati. I have seen how you flood the heart with bliss, drive away sin, and force a deluge of tears to flow from the eyes. I have seen how you see goodness where there is none, service in the most careless offering, and surrender in the most casual prayer. Above all, I have seen you bestow love on pure devotees, motivated devotees, and non-devotees alike. You give to all whether or not they are qualified. Moreover, you give me that love even though I am devoid of devotion. This display of causeless kindness is an incomprehensible wonder. I could compare it only to your beauty, but because I lack the ability to concisely describe either, I resorted to writing this book a lengthy glorification of your causeless mercy. I will read again. I could compare it only to your beauty. Your causeless kindness is comparable only to your beauty. But how will you describe the beauty of the Lord? It's an experience, it cannot put into words. Similarly, the kindness of the Lord, I cannot describe. I cannot describe it concisely. Therefore, I have written this lengthy book to describe the kindness of Krishna. Meanwhile, your gentle benevolence continues to flourish, flower and fructify in this transcendental place. When I again leave this abode only to acquire the merit by which I may return, driving along the same road by which I have many times left, I think, was it real? Or was it all a dream? Is it possible that a wretched soul like me, whose piety is meager, whose heart is black, and whose path is unclear, should for no other reason than that you are compassionate, taste nectar, see light, and envision the goal? Is it real? Or is it all a dream? But then I see your picture and whisper your names, and once again, like a flash flood, happiness thrills my being, pours forth from my eyes, speaks to my heart. Only this is real. All else is a dream. Then I know that such wonders are possible. I know they are real because you are the touchstones of love that infuse pure devotion in anyone who sees you, serves you, or chant your names. You are Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani ki.
Jai.
This is more like a poetic...
This.
What is Maharaj, I mean, what is writing on this thing?
Okay, so it was very